Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I've been crack opening a beer. It's a red ale, a red beer that I bought recently because I wanted to include in my recipes of tomorrow. I wanted to cook some stuff in beer, and so I bought a six pack, which gives me extra beer that I can drink. How are you guys doing? I've just been this afternoon, I've been on the Mark Collette show with David Duke. Of course, it was the usual David Duke. He didn't change since last time I spoke to him. He was very dominant in the conversation, and I still hold to my style. You know, he was telling me, Jeff, cut me off. Don't hesitate. The thing is, I won't cut you off because I don't have anything to say. I have something to say about everything, basically. But I'm not going to cut you off because it's a violation of my Canadian etiquette, if you will. And I refuse to cut you off. And no matter if you're still in that flow where you begin your new sentence, I will not cut you off then because it's not good for the audio track of a show. Normally, professionals of the streaming world, the radio world, everyone has always known you have to self-discipline and cue the other guest. David Duke is the only person in this entire universe that doesn't know this. So it can lead to 30 minutes, 40 minutes long monologues from him, but that is what it is. And I don't mind. I find this funny, and I don't mind listening to him. He was on point, mostly, but as someone was pointing out on the Discord, everything he says, he could say in 10 times less words. And he should use that opportunity because, I mean, we're fast thinkers. You're with Mark Collette and JF. We're two professionals. We can very well throw you back. And if you have more to say, say it on the throwback, say it on the second question. But it's David Duke, and we love him the way he is. It was fun. And yeah, we talked about the whole year. I tried to bring him back to the current year and what has been happening, rather unsuccessfully, because he kept going back to history and documented examples about Jewish power, but I wanted to try to focus on what has happened in 2022, because I think 2022 can be celebrated. It's probably the best year we've known in the dissident right, I would argue. It's the best year we've known for real. Now, 2016, 2017, 18, they were all great years of glory, but it was a deceptive glory, and I think that in 2022, we have actual victory, actual advances against technocracy, against deep state power. And we find, especially in the COVID stuff, the way the COVID fascists have withdrawn, they were pushed back. You realize that the technocrats don't know how to pull out. The technocrats don't know how to stop, and they're very good at taking over an institution. They're not very good at maintaining credibility across their gay ops, if you will, across their attempts at subverting the government, at subverting the functioning of society. And it's a total victory in 2022 against the deep state. Let me list the seven most important events of 2022, and we're going to go back to them in detail. But to me, those seven events, they all touch upon a single theme. It is the deep state should be getting nervous, and they are getting nervous. The Ukraine war will be a further loss of credibility for the intel community, for this whole NATO technocratic arrangement between the technocrats of America, the military, the intel community, and here Ukraine. And eventually people are going to look back, understanding that this is all an opportunity to launder money, basically. in the most dirty way possible. On top of it, Vladimir Putin shows himself quite honorable in this whole war, naive to a certain extent, and this whole flow of weapon that is keeping a situation of human suffering in Ukraine. Eventually people will awaken to this and will say, hey, that was stupid. The same way it was stupid to keep the Middle East in a state of war for 20 years. The yay event is an awakening that will... So that's my second event, yay awakening. This will have impacts on new generations. We had, there was a guy, I mean, he's an anonymous poster on 4chan, so impossible to verify if it's true. But he said he was a high school teacher, or he was some teacher in some school. And he says the kids, they all speak about the Jewish question. He says it's unbelievable how much this question is important now. And it's a mainstream thing in the school. They talk about it. They want to... They trigger the professors about it. They want to hear about it, and they talk to the Jewish students in their classes. All of this is thanks to the deep work that has been done for many decades. But eventually, Ye coming as one of the greatest benefactor, I would argue, of this form of power, of nepotistic power. And as a benefactor coming out against this system. Absolutely beautiful event of 2022. SBF and FTX, number three. SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, exposing here how the crony system tried to subvert the forces of the internet, particularly in the crypto world, and failed. Failed probably in a way that was designed to fail, but probably not designed to fail as much. A lot of red pilling will come out of this. A lot of red pilling will come from people realizing that it was an attempt at taking something that was beautiful on its own, Bitcoin, and trying to subvert it again so that Bitcoin is enslaved to the same set of interests that money has been enslaved to. Absolutely a good opportunity for red pilling of 2022. The Twitter acquisition by Elon Musk. And with the Twitter files in particular, you have to credit Elon Musk, although he hasn't unbanned people like me yet, and it's unfair. But you have to credit that he's basically going at war with the deep state, with the intelligence deep state of America. Those people are not kidding around. This could result in Elon Musk's death, and the fact that he's probably too respected and too known, where his death may not serve that much the intelligence community. It might actually backfire against them. But still, you have to credit him to just go at the forefront of the war and just decredibilize the technocrats even more. Credit to Elon Musk. Twitter acquisition is my number four event. Fauci exposed and the COVID ending. That is my number five event of 2022. I had predicted at the very beginning of the COVID stuff that we were headed toward an absolute decredibilization of experts. But what we see is that the forces of the internet are extremely well aligned, and they can grind and grind until this system gets decredibilized. Although it took some time before it became mainstream to consider that the whole COVID thing was a scam, it's becoming mainstream. And again, another victory, and in more spectacular fashion than I would have expected, in the sense that there are a lot of things out there, coverage, speakers who specialize in COVID, who talk about it every day, and it keeps working. They were silenced, but it keeps working, and it's a discourse that is now penetrating the mainstream. So credit to all these people who have been basically fighting a new branch of the deep state in the medical or authoritarianism domain. because this medical detour is how the system eventually breaks your individual rights. And we've seen that they were the most successful in terms of bringing in censorship. Censorship, you know, had not fully started until the COVID stuff came out, where they started making up new rules on an every week basis. Like, we were learning every week that there was something new we couldn't say. And now we're realizing that, of course, we're not realizing, we knew, but the normies are starting to realize that what we couldn't say was exactly the truth in all cases. Like, the vaccine causes myocarditis, couldn't say this. The vaccine doesn't protect from infection, couldn't say this at some point. The vaccine causes more harm than does good, couldn't say this. There are some platforms where you still can't say it. It's amazing the opportunity here for a mass red pilling. Anyone who's awakened enough, who has the predispositions to be woken up about the fraud that the government and the whole technocratic agenda is, will be awakened by this, because everyone has encountered in their private life examples of COVID crazies, examples of lockdown tactics, example of mask obligations that impeded on their right. And now you can totally call out this so-called self-identified liberal world. It's not a liberal world. They don't even respect your medical decision. So it's a world. It's a fascistic authoritarian world. Seventh event of the 2022 that is white pilling. Alex Jones. Alex Jones not fully awakened on the question of Jewish power, clearly, because he invites Nick Fuentes, he invites Ye, and he's basically the straight man trying to fight back their statement. But still, just the fact that he accepts to engage with it, the fact that he seems more relaxed, he's repeatedly invited Nick Fuentes even a second time after Ye came, that is a sign that if we can get to someone like this who has created so much labyrinth in his brain, basically, Alex Jones for years has been developing basically a technique to obfuscate through verbal engagement, to obfuscate the truths that we've been talking about. And some random bloke says Alex Jones has had David Duke on before. Yes, but it was fully to counter David Duke. If you've seen that interview, it was not open to what David Duke was saying. It was all boomer justifications to avoid engaging with Jewish power. I think that there's some more opening when Alex Jones is now willing to say the words, at least, because with David Duke, he wasn't even willing to say the words. John Drake says he was fully awakened years ago. I think they put him back to sleep by threatening his banking. Yeah, and when you have too much to lose, you are not a good candidate for awakening on the Jewish power question. You must be stripped of everything before the consideration comes in your head, hey, I'm free now. I have nothing, therefore there's nothing they can take from me. And so that cancellation either comes from others or it comes from yourself when you choose to self-cancel. And you say, all right, they can go at me with any means they have. I'm protecting myself in a way that even a full smear of my personality will not affect me. And it's kind of where Alex Jones is with, now, what is it? Is it trillions? however much money Alex Jones owes, I mean, it's so much money that he has nothing now. And it's when you are at that kind of border of viability, when you have nothing left, that you meet your true self. And I think that Alex Jones kind of met his true self this year. A beautiful progression. And John Stewart is my seventh event of the year. Jon Stewart as a Jew coming out and saying, "Hey guys, let's stop bashing on white. Let's stop bashing on these people. You know, let's stop going so harshly that in our harshness we basically show what we think the anti-Semites are thinking of us. We basically show this intransigence. We show an unwillingness to engage with the facts." Now, Jon Stewart is not fully awakened in that he mixes in humor and comedy to mock the question of Jewish power. He's also not fully awakened because ultimately he laughs at all this and he says we have to debate these people, not we have to accept their truth, but he thinks we can debate back. But it's still an opening in the sense that the current standard in the media engaging with Jewish power issues is to deny its existence, to just react a little bit like you would react to something dirty. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it. And that's the standard in the media treatment of this question. Jon Stewart is appealing to something else where there's a chance to win. Because a debate, you enter a debate with the acknowledgement that there are two sides. And he can control what he says. If Jon Stewart ever debates Papa JF, he can control what he says, but he can't control what I say. And that's already an important opening, saying not the whole question is illegitimate, but saying, okay, the question is legitimate, but I think you're wrong. Let's engage on it, and let's let the audience decide what they find to be true. It's a beautiful place to be. So for these seven reasons, I say 2022 was the most beautiful year for the dissident right, although it was low profile in the sense that we're not seeing the numbers that we were seeing in 2016 to 18. We're not the only players in town. The town square of the internet has grown in raw numbers. And relatively, we are smaller than we were in 2018. We're not the only live stream that attracts a lot of attention. Although we do have live stream that attracts a lot of viewers, like Alex Jones. It is not anymore the only live stream. I remember in Warski Live days, we were the only live stream to ever do 10,000 and more viewers on any sort of political team or news team. So the times were different because we were relatively extremely dominant. Today, we are not relatively extremely dominant. Censorship has hit, and also the internet has been normified. But it's okay, because in terms of actual gains, if you remove the question of popularity and relative size, in terms of actual gain, I cannot see how someone would have wished a better year. List these seven points of decredibilization of the deep state. I cannot imagine someone telling me, "JF, I think the year could have been better than this." What do you want? What do you want? It's beautiful what's been happening, and we should celebrate the strength of those progresses. Some random bloke has sent a super chat. He says, "Merry Christmas, JF, and Happy Hanukkah." Yes, it was the suggestion of David Duke that we stop playing around, we stop lying to ourselves that we're a Christian civilization, and we start celebrating every year Hanukkah to acknowledge the fact that we are led by technocrats, and technocrats who coordinate under the guise of Judaism. Ali Mer sends $25. Thank you so much. He says, "Merry Christmas, JF." Well, thank you so much. Richard Williams sends $5. He says, "What do you think of the theory that the mRNA vaccine causes a recessive gene, resulting in the daughters of two vaxxed parents being infertile? This was tipped off by a Paul Anon in September 2020, who mentioned the modification of a specific gene, which was confirmed later. I don't know that this was any confirmed in any way. The claim is interesting. The claim basically, the thing is, we have this technology. So we have to study seriously the possibility that one day some pharmaceutical company with evil intention or some military entity of some kind or intelligence entity is going to decide to use that technology on humans against their will, whether as part of war or as part of a kind of civil war or a civil attack of some kind. So I think we should give that question a serious look. Now, I don't know of any evidence that that we have identified genes that were targeted by the mRNA vaccine. So you'd have to send me this evidence, Richard Williams. If you have links, you can send them to me through the chat or through a DM on Discord. Because we must give respect to the importance of this question, we must also not identify false threats and claim false things about it. And I don't know where you take it that this has been demonstrated. Mark says, Garrisky, yes, JF is going to be great. Blackpilled, distributors were also great. Oh yeah, the Millennial, I'll be there on the 24th. By the way, tonight we have two shows. I'm doing my regular show here now. We're doing the year in review. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have our Patreon hangout, Subscribestar hangout. So join the Subscribestar at the $20 level if you want to be part of this further celebration. Real Delicid says, JF, remember how much trouble was caused because of the year 2K bug or the expectation of it? Imagine if changed calendars to the Jewish year 5783. Okay, what would happen? We would have troubles at the 6K? 6K years would be a moment of particular nervousness. And Richard Williams says, I'll dig up the links, JF. There's specifics involved which seem credible. I'm pretty sure it's going to be crap, but yeah, do dig up the link so I can tell you why I would disagree. But I think that if something like this was solidly proven, I should have heard about it. This guy is attempting, I believe he was attempting to slide or something, slide on the ramp, but things went awry. There is just an amount of fat that the body cannot handle. The brain is programmed to think that you have control of your bones, but at some level of fat, you become kind of a fluid. And it's like if you are thin, you make this movement. There's really no fat other than the one that truly follows your bone. But if you have a lot of fat, you make this move, the fat is like, and it's like your brain is not understanding these oscillations. So your brain is like, let's try to recalibrate. And it's totally failing. So yes, I've been on, as I was speaking about, I've been on Mark Collette. Mark Collette was trying to rein in the double D. Unsuccessfully at times, but David Duke still looking in good shape. I thought he would come with his new beard because I saw pictures of him with a boomer beard, basically. And turns out that he's not wearing this on the regular. Inertial fat, says Unpaused. Yes, that could be the term for it. It's the inertia of fat. Valet says, it's cool that somebody was filming at that exact moment so that we can all enjoy on JFG tonight. Yes, more and more citizen journalists documenting the reality of the world. So tomorrow I have a project. lobster laced belly wrapped ribeye, Christmas 2022, Vengeance of the Deep Sea. This will be the show tomorrow. I'm waking up very early tomorrow so I can start the cooking, because I suspect that the project I have in my head, even when I'm done preparing all the ingredients, I think it needs something like 8 hours of cooking. So what we're looking at is a ribeye piece. So I have a big, big piece of ribeye like this. I want to wrap it in the belly of the pork. So I want to represent kind of the initial situation where Jordan Peterson says that according to the myth, we are stuck in the belly of the beast. So I want the ribeye to be initially stuck in the belly of the beast. So I bought an entire slab of the whole belly of a pork. And hopefully I have enough diameter to fully wrap the ribeye in it. And then I want to drill a hole in the middle, and I would like to tell the story of a parasitic form of lobster that could have existed in a parallel universe. This lobster makes a living out of living inside pigs and beef. And so this lobster would have been born as a kind of larva inside the belly of the beast, and as the dominant lobster. And again, we have the connection to Jordan Peterson here, the whole connection between the dominance behavior of lobsters and that of humans. So we have the lobster conquering his fears and becoming an adult from within the belly of the beast. And the lobster will be exiting the ribeye plus the pork belly to rise victorious, which is why I call it Vengeance. It's a fascist lobster, kind of. It's a lobster that got pissed of being limited to eating in the deep sea and as a kind of scavenging, just cleaning animal. He wanted to be a dominant life form. And he rises victorious from the killed pig and beef to be the dominant lobster that Jordan Peterson will compare to a dominant human. So that is the thought process behind this culinary experiment. I want to see, because normally when we cook lobster in classic cuisine, we seek to minimize the treatment. We seek to not add any taste to the lobster. In fact, normally, even to me, squeezing lemon on a lobster is ridiculous, because you add a very dominant acidic taste and you don't appreciate the lobster as much, in my view. I want to go the opposite of classical cuisine, and I want to challenge the established order. And I want to know, what does lobster taste like when it's dipped in pig fat, in liquid pig fat that have been slowly infusing into the lobster? Lodazal says first he had to clean his aquarium. Ah, that is the first tip given to lobster. Clean your aquarium. I also want to determine to what extent can the belly of a pig flavor and tenderize the ribeye. Now, people have told me, Jeff, this is a crime against ribeye. I agree, but I've been tasting plenty of ribeye in my life, so it's not like a new experiment to me. Good ribeye is always good, and it's always the top thing. I'm not interested in the top thing anymore. I'm interested in living some experiences that I have never lived before I die. That's what I want to do. So the question is, can the pork belly fat drip into the ribeye and enhance its flavor, texture, or taste? That is what I want to determine. And then the third question that I'm trying to answer is, can a lobster add a good flavor if you cook it with the whole carcass and you put the carcass inside the ribeye and the pork belly? Can we have lobster flavor infusing the pork belly leading to a quality meal, leading to a pork belly that is something different. That is what I want to answer, and we'll have the answer tomorrow unless I totally fail, but I don't have the option of failure. I want to succeed. We have other services prepared. Mama JF has been preparing some sauerkraut. I don't know if it's ready because it's been fermenting for 2 days. We'll see if it's ready to serve. I bought everything to make a classic German sauerkraut with the kraut on the bottom, ham, sausage, everything, pork belly. So we're going to have all of the pieces that normally come with a German sauerkraut. That is something I wouldn't want to miss. So be here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's happening. Oive sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, "Hi, Jeff. Merry Christmas. What do you think of the ancient Roman and ancient Greeks? Should we take inspiration from them to solve our societal woes?" I don't think there's much to take inspiration from them to succeed in our society. But I think we can learn a lot from their errors. I think it's mostly this. We can learn from the fall of the Roman Empire that politicking and you know, transforming everything into a political question controlled by the state and having too much taxes and having a technocratic layer to your society is not good. So that's the first thing we can learn from the fall of the Roman Empire. We can also learn, how do I, as an individual, survive a sick system? Because presumably there were some of our European ancestors who were at the edge of the Roman Empire who may not have experienced much hurt from the fall of the Roman Empire and who have simply turned into feudal little localities that were very much operative. They were working even after the fall of the Roman Empire. So we can learn where to position ourselves from the technocratic centers of power, and how to survive better after. Now, that's for the Roman Empire. As far as the Greek, I guess that as an American, I don't feel very much Greek. I appreciate the contribution to knowledge and some concepts of legality. But I feel much more close to the parallel being made with the Roman Empire. If something can be learned from Greece, it should be learned by Europe. And perhaps there are some things to learn, although it's a complex history, you know. And I don't know that there's a way you can maintain the Greek Empire or the Roman Empire. I don't know that there's something you could have done to revert the order of things. I think the best you can do is learn as an individual, how do I escape these empires? Bottom Bottom says, "JF, can knowledge acquired by an individual get transferred to his or her offspring somehow? Excluding using memes, of course. I remember a study where generations of mice would remember an induced association of fear to a given color." I don't think you would. I don't think that that's what the study was showing. An association, that's a little too complex. Although emotional states can be recorded in individuals and passed on to the offspring, through, for example, what they call epigenetics as a whole, in particular, the transfer of methylated DNA-based pairs. it's a little symbol that is added to your DNA that says this gene express it more or this gene express it less. And through this, some amount of learning can be operated without communication, without teaching. I don't think that it can reach the level of precision of an association between a specific sensory input, but it could put the offspring in a general emotional state such that their response to that stimuli will resemble that of our parents. But there's no way for the DNA methylation mechanism to know what color the stimuli is. So there has to be something more than this to the story. Valet says, the lobster rises victorious from deep within the beef, only to be eaten by JF and his family. Yeah, that's too bad. Demographic decline of America. Households without children are officially more normal than households with children. So the yellow line here is people living alone. The teal line is households with children. And you can see that the number of homes or housing units, including rents, is now populated by individuals not with children, as opposed to individuals with children. That is very sad. It is so sad. How can we tell people just how pleasurable it is, how you shouldn't worry about the cost or anything, that life is about reproduction, and that everything about you is designed to enjoy reproduction? Zelensky went to Washington, D.C. today. Zelensky was expected to tell Congress that $45 billion in new aid is not enough. That's pretty much what he said, and then he got more aid. Hundreds of millions additional to what was already allocated to him. This guy, he's rolling on a streak. Zelensky is on a streak. But as I was discussing with David Duke this afternoon, there has to be an end to this. I mean, the laws of physics just don't allow infinite giving. So there will be an end to it, and hopefully then people will be able to talk back and look back and see that it was a massive fraud of the American people. Again, the efforts and energy of the American people being dedicated to foreign influence operations. Rodi Lucid says, JF, if everybody keeps putting peanut butter on mouse traps, so only mice who dislike peanuts survive and procreate, aren't we selecting for future mice who dislike peanut butter? Absolutely. But as it turns out, the life of mice is not filled enough with trap avoidance strategies that it matters. In other words, out of all the worries that a mouse has, the possibility that the food be trapped by a human is relatively low, because most mice live lives outside of the house of humans, are not subject to being trapped or tracked. And so, because it's a small aspect of their life, there's a chance that it never crosses the threshold to have an effect on natural selection that truly changes the mice. But you would be right, if we become so dominant that there are no more natural environments for the mice, and now all of the mice live in human houses, and all of them are subject to the trapping issue. I've been wondering about this myself, because we caught many mice here. Every time we use a cage that is preserving of the life of the mouse, I don't like killing mice. So every time we capture them alive, and it works every time. Mama Jeff puts a little bit of peanut butter, a little bit of cheese, and there you go. Any mice will fall for it. But yeah, it would have an evolutionary effect if it was done more. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, confirming your point on a change of discourse, there is a YouTube page called Shine a Light On that makes short infomercials covering all the points, many previously unspeakable points about Jews and Israel that dissidents make, and teaches you that these are examples of anti-Semitism. Yeah, and this whole anti-Semitism accusation hopefully will run out of steam eventually, and people will realize that there is a double standard inherent to it. To just say that I politically oppose to the actions of a group, to use a label that connects this with racism, is ridiculous, and hopefully people will see through it. I think people see through it instinctively. You see how Ye can be received, for example, in the black population, and you see that, yeah, you know, people just out of very little thinking are open to this idea that there's bullshit in there. Paladin sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, fantastic show with David Duke. I could have easily listened to another 2 hours. When is round two? Well, round two is in the hands of Mark Collette. I will always accept an invitation, so I guess you have to pressure Mark Collette and make it happen. Elon Musk claims the FBI paid Twitter to censor info from the public. Here's what the Twitter files actually show. This person, Oliver Darcy, a journalist at CNN, the famous journalist who's been yelled at by Alex Jones as being a rat or a creep, I believe, and eventually leading to the banning of Alex Jones from a lot of things. He's the one who keeps working for the bannings of everyone. Now, he claims somehow the FBI paid Twitter. So his whole point is, well, you know, the FBI did pay Twitter, but it wasn't for the censorship. It was for bureaucratic fees. And it's like, bro, the bureaucratic fees were due to cover the meetings between Yoel Roth and the FBI, which Yoel Roth bragged about, and they were meant to cover these meetings, during which these meetings it was determined who was getting banned on Twitter. And we've then seen the whole conversation from within the Twitter organization, from a report by Yoel Roth saying, this is what the FBI wants us to look at, to, oh yeah, I successfully banned him. Not for the reason the FBI told me, but I found another reason. So we have the whole thing. It's filled with fraud. It's fraud at the governmental level. It's fraud at the employee level who was looking for side excuses because the main excuse given by the FBI wasn't enough. We have the whole process. And yes, the bureaucratic fees. Yeah, it may be written bureaucratic fee on the bill, but those bureaucrats were discussing on an everyday basis, who does the FBI want us to ban? Tell us, what can we do? So it's not because it's not written on the bill that it didn't happen. The Spectator Index reports, France's President Macron calls on Europe to reduce its security reliance on the United States. I love how this is a repeated observation. The servants of the global order, they end up realizing the truth, but always too late, always after participating to the fraud. Like these people who now say, oh yeah, it's not a problem, we can now say it, the vaccine causes myocarditis. Now it's not a problem, because we fucked most people already with this, and we have no further people to fuck. So let's be honest now. Same thing with these Europeans leaders who are suddenly speaking strong against the NATO collaboration with Ukraine. You've been in it from the beginning. You've been siding with Ukraine. You've been siding with the US. You've been silent in front of the censorship of people who were saying that makes no sense. You participated to the whole thing. And when it's done, now it's late enough, and now they can talk about it and talk about how maybe it's not the best thing to do to be supporting Ukraine and for Ukraine to be relying so much on US control. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried to leave Bahamas for the US after agreeing to be extradited. It seems that it's going to happen tonight. SBF on his way to the US. That's a good one. There was a common speech between Zelensky and Biden. Just displays of solidarity and crap like this. I don't know about this study. I haven't reviewed it in detail. But the guy claims that basically the white conservatives are now the most unlikely to believe that biological differences between races matter a great deal or a lot in explaining why blacks and Hispanics have worse jobs, income, and housing than whites. So the black are the most based. This is the black column in green. 35% of them will tell you, yeah, it's because of biological differences. The Hispanic are halfway through at 20%, saying, yeah, it's biological differences. The white liberal is more based than the white conservative. The white liberal at 15% think, yeah, it's biological difference. That's why they're so emotional about it. That's why they want to debate it and they want to obfuscate. It's that deep down, they're more racist than the white conservatives. And look at this. The clean white conservatives knows how to avoid trouble in 2022. Only 9% of them will tell you that biological differences explain the difference in outcomes. Fascinating, because the truth, we all know the truth from twin study, it's very clear. Yeah, genetic differences. In fact, it's even more detailed than saying just biological. Genetic differences explains most of the variation in a lot of traits, from psychiatric disorder to IQ and so much more. So we know what the truth is. These people are just the minority in each group, which grows as we go on toward the right of the graph. And it's amazing that ultimately, to get closer to the truth on this question, white conservatives should learn and respect what blacks are saying about it and what Hispanics are saying about it. FBI downplays the latest Twitter files dumps in statement as misinformation by conspiracy theorists. Yeah, the FBI is doing just like CNN, not really engaging with the question and just saying, oh, those are conspiracy theories. The men and women of the FBI work every day to protect the American public, and it's unfortunate that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose of attempting to discredit the agency. And their big excuse, their big argument is, this is standard, the way we interact with Twitter. We've always done this, and we're doing it with so many more companies. And it's like, it's not because you do it more that it's more acceptable. You are currently being judged on this because we know this. That's what we could know. (Clears throat) if we could know about you, the way you interact with Facebook, I would love to know it. But we're criticizing you for the impact that you had on the censorship of Americans. Do you have anything to say about this? Because it does look like there is a conspiracy and a coordination where the FBI comments about specific posts on Twitter lead to the banning of people. Do you acknowledge this? And do you have a strategy for this not to happen in the future? Or are you just going to keep being this passive aggressive player in the censorship space, coming to social media and saying, oh, you know, maybe this guy is violating your TOS. I don't know. Richard William sends the link that he was talking about earlier, saying that that there was genetic modification induced by the mRNA vaccine. It's a post on 4chan. Let's have a look at what it says. I'm an industrial engineer at Moderna, blah, blah, blah. Most people's understanding of this novel vaccine type is that it works as follows. Make RNA coding for S protein. Make lipid nanoparticle delivery system. Profit. How it actually works from what we've uncovered is 1. Make mRNA coding for S protein. 2. Make mRNA coding for mutant versions of CYP19A1 and CDKN1B in smaller amounts. Make sure that while delivery system for one mostly ends up in a liver, most of two ends up in the gonads. 4. Make sure form and quantity of additive upregulating line 1 reverse transcription activity makes it hard to detect among legit adjuvants. 5. Effects from 2 integrated by 4 are recessive, mildly oncogenic effects in vaccine recipients, unlikely to be noticed for many years. And 5 recessive, but since most of population vaccinated in next generation, female offspring have premature ovarian failure. Those are all speculations. They don't say how this person has reached those conclusions. So you have to tell me, how is it that the mRNA is coding for CYP19A1 and CDKN1B, and how is it that these things would be transferred in the intergenerational reproduction, and how would you know this? Did you do it on rats? Did you do it on mice? Did you do it on pregnant women? It seems that we could have data that shows whether this is true or not. But I don't see data, I see claims. It's just stated. This is not a sufficient demonstration. Richard Williams says, this Jicky guy is a zero scientist, which is a significant organization in Australia. Regardless of those credentials, I hope you can examine this stuff. Please read Jicky's thread at your leisure. He has more. Okay, so there's a whole thread on Twitter. Okay, I will read that thread. I will keep it in my tabs here. I will read it later tonight and we'll see. For now, not sufficient. People are reporting, as part of the Carrie Lake lawsuit, I believe, irregularities in the Maricopa County, and they show that through messaging, we can see that the responsible for the voting at Maricopa County were extremely nervous on the night of the county vote. All of our voting booths are full at Mountain View Community Center. Voting booths full with bottleneck at booths, printer area. Line is out the door. Ditto. Agree, people wait for booth. Also, tabulators very picky. Lots of rejects here. And someone says, I'm having a 911. We are running about 50% acceptance. Lots of misreads. A provisional vote did not get a receipt printed. Voter is waiting. Please advise. Inspector from Tempe in Mountain Park Health Center called me. Tabulator is not accepting the overvote, even though they are using the override button. So lots of problems with the machines that are now getting exposed thanks to this lawsuit. Silver Spider says, JF, how can we own the left if we can't try to call them hypocrites by saying they are more racist? Well, you don't want to approach a leftist with this argument, because the graph I've shown just shows that 15% of the leftists will admit that they are racist. Of course, the real number must be bigger than this. Those are just the people who were not shamed enough to admit it to the survey. But you don't want to make an argument, because it's not an argument that is fair. It's a statistical claim. What tells you that the guy you're faced with is racist? And what would you gain by proving that he's a racist? You have to understand that as soon as you engage with the concept that racism is wrong or something along those lines, you're already making a leftist argument. So don't try to make this case that, oh, you're an hypocrite. You don't like black people as much as I do. Because you're already falling for the big trap. That is the big trap. The big trap of not even acknowledging that ultimately people's choice and people's free association is what's at play. And someone shouldn't be compelled to go out with a person that they don't like, no matter what the reason is. Even if the reason is unscientific, people have the right to self-determination. That is the important fight, not convincing a leftist that he's an hypocrite. Rodilacid says, JF, if you haven't seen it, the forensic tech guy in the Maricopa trial today was great. It's worth checking out. Okay, I haven't watched. I will have a look. All right, so that's it for the recent news that I wanted to cover. Now, going back to our year in review, simply making a conclusion on everything I've already reviewed, I have listed 7 points on 2022, which I think are, all of them happen to be white pilling. I haven't selected them because they were white pilling. It just is the case that 2022 is a highly white pilling year. So the Ukraine war, and people were asking me earlier, JF, can you make predictions for 2023? Well, the Ukraine war, the unfolding of it is a slow Russian victory, a grind against the infinite supply of American arms and money, and a total betrayal of the Ukrainian people by the military complex of Ukraine and America. So 2023, what is my prediction on the Ukraine war? I think it's barely going to advance. I think you're going to wake up in 2024 and there might be no difference at all with the situation we're in right now, because this is a war of attrition at this point. And so I don't expect much unfolding other than pushing a little bit by Ukraine and pushing back a little bit by Russia. But it seems to have been stable for so long at this point. I don't see much interest to invest massive efforts on either side to make progression. The Ukraine side is invested in just convincing America that it's fighting so it can get its flow of money. It's going to keep doing it just for the cameras, just for the money. And if needed, they will try to make it look like they're doing a counterattack. But it doesn't look very promising from the Ukraine side. So to me, the lines will be very resembling of the current lines. That's if there's not further provocation from the US, which would push into a nuclear war. But still, I evaluate this probability as a relatively low, less than 5% probability. But if there's a nuclear war, it will be caused by the US going too far. Paladin sends $25. Thank you so much. He says, I would love your thoughts on this. If the media is completely controlled by an alien power and it determines what can be said and what is to be censored, how can we claim that we have the ability to talk to each other, since our conversational milieu is determined by them? Well, exactly. I think that's the situation. And you can see how even, like you see me and David Duke, we are two agents of resistance. We're two true ones. And even us have been separated by censorship to a certain extent, because we haven't talked to each other for more than a year, I guess. Why is that? Well, it's because of censorship, because I was in his DM on Twitter. We've both been banned from Twitter. So we lose friendships, and yes, we lose the possibility to discuss. That's why I'm working so hard so that we have success on Odyssey. That's why I'm working on parallel platforms. That's why I want a decentralized finance and I want crypto to take over. It's very important to me that if we want true liberty, that our social networks not be interfered with. And so the first step to this is decentralization and a non-reliance on the mainstream systems. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, what about the Chinese-Indian war? Apparently, Indian troops are massing on the Chinese border. I don't have a strong take on this. Overall, I find this stunningly improbable. I would be very surprised. I just don't see it happening. I think China would have other targets before they want to create a provocation with India. Is India willing to just march into China? Probably not. Technological superiority probably on the Chinese side. No, I don't see it happening. So number two, the Yay events. I conclude that the truth is stronger than the systems of control that were put in place to shut it down. And I conclude that there will always be people willing to self-immolate, people who have nothing to lose, or people who are just too attached to honor and truth to give up. And Ye is an example of this, and what he's pushed is he has pushed to reach an audience that we could have never reached from our little stand on the internet. He has awakened people and will keep awakening people. The Ye intervention overall was great. I don't predict much for Ye in 2023. I think it's going to fizzle out because I think Ye is too limited and too disorganized in his mental process, such that when he's not handled by handlers, I don't think he will be as performant as he was when he was managed. Basically, Ye needs management, and I don't see him realizing anything spectacular in 2023, but he's done plenty in 2022, and I respect this. SBF and FTX and crypto in general, I had said that we would find the frauds through the bear markets, and we did. That's what I expected. We found the frauds. The frauds are always exposed in bear markets because bull markets, it's easy. You always grow, and more success comes, and more money comes than even the one you can defraud. But it's in a bear market that we discover the fraud. And we did with SBF and with all of the DeFi stuff that has been failing. All of it, ultimately is good. It's not something that is bad. It is good. And the right players are falling. The ones that you would want if you want a red pill, the most people possible. People are aware that FTX was within the academic Jewish connection, and that what SBF has attempted is the taking over of something that was honorable through dishonorable practices. And this will be a major red pill event in the future. The Twitter acquisition by Elon, lots of promises not honored yet, not unbanned me, did not unban David Duke, Mark Collett, Keith Woods. It's time for Elon to stand by his promise of general amnesty. I don't see a general amnesty now. However, his attack on the deep state in 2022 was up there and was solid, and it was one of the most solid events of 2022, something that will keep making people talk and realize the dangers of the deep state and hopefully have a political impact. Now, the big sad thing is that there's still no political option for someone who wants to get rid of the deep state. We have Joe Biden totally in the arms of the deep state, but then we'll have what, Trump? Trump is hand in hand with the deep state. He says drain the swamp, but he doesn't do it. The sad thing is I would want a political solution to show up that can eliminate, that can totally eradicate the idea of employing intelligence agencies to do anything. Totally just exclude them from the process, just not fund them. There is no political option for this yet. And yet the Twitter files show us that they are not working in our interest. They are a political police of the lowest degrees of morality possible. Fauci exposed and the general technocrats of COVID exposed. I think 2022 was the end of it. It started in 2021. My big coverage of COVID was basically in, 2020, I think. Mostly 2020. But we see a kind of second-rate media personalities pursuing the case of COVID in 2021 and 2022. There is massive coordination happening on the internet, massive Telegram channels forming of people who were vaccine injured and they want to share their suffering with others and they want to share videos to sensitize others. All of this is extremely red-pilling. The decredibilization of the medical industry is maximal. You could not have wished better than this. We are on the verge of mainstream acknowledgement that perhaps we've killed millions of people with this vaccine. So we are right there. You cannot have wished more progress than this in 2022. A full awakening and a general hostility toward those lockdowns, realizing that they haven't contributed to anything. And finally, the Alex Jones. So what do I predict for the COVID stuff? I predict exactly what I've been predicting for many months now, which is that the leftists will want to move on. They will ask us to kind of ignore that what they've done, to act as if the lockdowns hadn't happened, as if they had done their best to follow the science. It's like, no, you knew what you were following. You knew it was bullshit. You were producing the science as it went to justify your interventions. There has to be a better process for management of expert advice in society, and that's what it should be. It should be expert advice, not expert decisions on what to do in society. And it's a matter of liberty. We need politicians with balls that say, I'm not just going to listen to whatever Fauci says. I'm going to set my political agenda based on considerations of liberty and fairness. And then the experts can diffuse all the pamphlets they want about their recommendations, but they're not going to control who has the right to do business in America. Hopefully we reach that point, but my prediction is in 2023, it will kind of fizzle out and there won't be much talk about it. There will be, of course, the Republicans constantly pursuing. There's a subset of Republicans really harsh on the Fauci question. They will continue doing it. But you won't see much progress. And eventually the technocratic medical state is setting up for perhaps redoing the same, but not in 2023 nor in 2024, perhaps somewhere in 2030, more like 10 years between each big push. And at each big push, or every 10 years, it's going to get archer and they're going to be more intimidating, and they would have taken all of the advance they've done on the last push, and they're going to do even more. And finally, on the year in review, Alex Jones and John Stewart, two people who have made their own progress in acknowledging truths that are uncomfortable about Jewish power. Again, you could not have wished better than this. You have John Stewart, a personality that has been watched by millions and millions, just saying, all right, let's engage with this question of Jewish power, let's make jokes about it, and of course, let's include Dave Chappelle and Ye in this. Media personalities are basically inspiring themselves from what we've done in 2016 to 2018. So that's a good news. It's sad that it's such drainage and it's such theft of intellectual property in a way, because in a fair world, you would just quote the people that have been exploring these questions before you. But we're not in a fair world. And if you think about it from just a public awakening perspective, John Stewart and Alex Jones have made their part in 2022. They have exposed new audiences to these talking points, which they may have not ever heard about. So that is it for my review of tonight and this show. We will be headed toward the Patreon/Subscribestar hangout. So if you are a subscriber, we will continue the discussion in private. Join the Subscribestar at the $20 level if you want to get the link. We will be hanging out on the Discord in the JF Lounge, and that will start in 50 minutes from now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It was a pleasure to be here tonight, and I'll be here again tomorrow, hopefully with a completed Christmas dinner that I can eat in part with Mama JF. So don't miss the show tomorrow. It will be the lobster-laced, belly-wrapped ribeye, Vengeance of the Deep Sea, Christmas 2022. Silver Spider says, hey Jeff, what is an effective way to point out that how leftists always seem to exploit the fear of the unknown? By this, I mean, for example, someone would say, okay, lockdowns were bad, but imagine how bad it would be without lockdowns. Most people fall for it every time. You can reuse the tactics of the leftist on this. The leftist will often say, that's an unsupported claim. Do you know for sure? You can question them, and how would you know that it would be more bad? You don't know. And then you can take examples of societies that have done differently. And like, is Sweden dead? Is it over for Sweden? Well, Sweden didn't have the lockdowns, didn't have the forced vaccination. What about Turkey? Did everyone die of COVID in Turkey? Low vaccination rate. Take societies in Africa that had less than 10% vaccination rate. What about them? Why haven't they died more? So yes, they are working hard to abolish the control group, but they will never succeed. There is always a natural experiment somewhere going on. That's your job to find it. If you're a guy like me and you are a public speaker, that's why I say, you know, JF, isn't it the case that Jews are in the media because of their IQ? Well, my brain has to look for, okay, is there some other population that has high IQ, but that doesn't control the media? Oh yeah, the Asians. So that is what your brain has to do. Find the natural experiment and see the conclusions of it. Join me for the private Patreon hangout in 45 minutes. Refresh your Patreon page or your Subscribestar page if you want the link. Much love, sleep well. Thank you.
We'll be right back.